1775, William Henley wrote a well-known poem entitled Invictus. It goes like this: out of the night that covers me, black is the pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. And it goes on in that vein for a number of stanzas, and then it concludes with this: it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That is the thinking of those who live without God. And they reflect the thinking of Satan, who said much the same thing, desiring to be the captain of his own soul. For we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. As Christians, we believe and profess a sovereign God, a God who rules and reigns as He wills in heaven and on earth. And we reject the thinking and the ideas of Invictus. We reject them as unbiblical, unchristian, and satanic. Yet how many of us practically in our lives every day are guilty of living by those ideas? Going about our lives as if we were the captain of our own souls. We go about ignoring God as we live, planning our lives, making decisions, often without much thought about God, not much thought about God's will, not much thought about what God desires. James addresses this very issue in chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. James imagines a businessman, and he's making plans for the future. All businessmen and women must do that, must plan, must strategize. But notice the issue and the problem here is there's an air of certainty. He will spend a year in a certain city, and he will do this, and he will do that, and he will make a good profit. Now, the scriptures have no quarrel with doing business, no quarrel with planning, and no quarrel with making a profit. But the error of this man is planning without God, of looking with certainty upon his own schemes, and ignoring what we refer to as the providence of God in his life. Jesus touched on this. Matthew chapter 24. He says, as in the days before the flood, he's referring to Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Eating, drinking, marrying, they're not sin. They're a part of proper, ordinary life. But the sin is doing these ordinary things with no thought of God, and no thought of eternity, of judgment, of standing before the living God and giving an account for my life. So James tells us of a businessman who is not concerned about God and his affairs. He's just thinking about his own pocketbook, his own comforts. And he's doing so with an arrogant certainty that he will do what he plans. And there's no confidence in the Lord, who is the one who blesses and prospers our endeavors. Rather, his view, this businessman, is of his own skills, his own prowess in business. His goal is money. His goal is profit. His passion is himself and not the living God. Peter in 2 Peter 2:14 writes, having eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, greed, and are accursed children. Jesus gave a very similar illustration. He talked of a farmer who was very successful. His crops were bumper to bumper crops year after year, and he didn't know what to do with them. So he said to himself, I'll pull down my barns, Jesus said, and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, because he's the captain of his own soul, you see. Soul, you have goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Then Jesus said, well, God had other plans. And God's response was, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? Again, the sin is not in working. The sin is not in reaping a reward. It's not in abundance. It's not in saving or having barns. All of these are commended in Scripture one place or another. Working to subdue the earth are all a part of the creation mandate that God gave to us in Genesis 1 and Genesis 3. That is not where the sin lies. The world around us, however, lives with presuming that our lives are our own. That is the sin. Presuming that we control our own futures rather than God. The sin is living without God as a practical atheist. And that's how those around us live, isn't it? The world lives by their compassions, little more than animals, actually. Boastful of their prowess when they are created in the image of God and are accountable to serve and obey Him, they ignore it and live unto themselves, making decisions and plans boastful of their mastery of their fate. And if there is prayer, and we can be guilty of this as well, it is to ask God to bless plans that we have made, not to seek His will and His guidance. This businessman didn't stomp his feet and shake his fist at God and cry out that God doesn't exist. He just went about life, went about ordinary, even good things, ignoring God in all the details. He lived, no matter what he might have believed or professed, he lived as though God didn't matter or didn't even exist. And God calls him a fool. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High God. The farmer said, I will do this and I will do that. The businessman said, I will go here and I will make a profit. But leaving God out of their lives makes them, or makes us, foolish. James says this is because your life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Solomon spoke to this issue in the book of Ecclesiastes. He wrote of the frailty of life and says it's like a wisp of smoke. Vanity of vanities. It's the thinnest of vapors. That's what life is like. Psalm 102:3 reflects on the brevity of life. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. We had a reminder of that this past week. On Friday, our Attorney General, the Attorney General of North Dakota, unexpectedly died at the age of 68. Life is not a given. Tomorrow is not a given. And even if we grow old, it is but a vapor in the scheme of the centuries. And the Christian, James is saying, is to live remembering that the day of the Lord is at hand. That my very breath is the Lord's command and not my own. I cannot count on tomorrow or what I might do tomorrow. I must not presume upon the future. But what does the world do? Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is evil. It's not just foolish behavior, as Jesus said. It's not just unwise to do it. James says it is evil. It is wicked. A life lived that disregards God is a life that is an empty boast, because life is uncertain. James uses a word that means to wander about. Used of, in older Greek, it was used of a wandering peddler. He would go from town to town and place to place and sell wares, making tremendous claims that were usually exaggerated and kind of like infomercials today. Just empty boasting to get the sale. James' point is that the person who goes about life relying upon himself and his own abilities and skills and knowledge, confident of tomorrow and leaving God out of it, is making a false claim. An arrogant, empty huckster. But worse, James says, it's evil. It is wicked to ignore God and to leave God out of your busy life, out of your planning, out of your goals, confident in your own skills and abilities and will. James says it's evil. It is wicked. It is aligning yourself with Satan in his rebellion against the living God. James is telling us that it's not just a sin of omission to live and plan without God. It is an act of wickedness, of placing yourself above God, as Satan does. What God wants from his people is a submissive spirit to him, a submissive spirit that yields, active, thoughtful, acknowledging of his rule over us, seeking and desiring his will. James says we should do this consciously and vocally. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Planning is good. We all need to do that. It's commended even by Jesus. Luke chapter 14. You know, what king going to make war against another king does not sit down and first consider whether he is able to, with 10,000, meet him who comes against him with 20,000? We need to be thoughtful about life. And Jesus commended such thinking and planning. But James says there needs to be a footnote to our planning. And that footnote is, if the Lord wills, Lord willing. Because God needs to be consciously taken into consideration in the plans of His people. This is what Jesus taught us to say in prayer, isn't it? Thy will be done. It's how He prayed. Father, I would like this to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. So as we plan, we must take God and His word and His commands into account. Use Scripture, both principles and commands, for our guidance. And then as we move forward with plans and actions, plans that we believe are in God's will, James says we should express verbally our submission to God by adding Lord willing to our plans. If the Lord wills, I will go to such and such a city for a year and do business and make a profit. As Christians, you are to recognize that God is involved in all of your life, all of your plans, every aspect of your life, not just the spiritual, not just the religious. He is sovereign over all of life. In Ephesians 1:11, the Apostle Paul wrote this: In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. All things, not just your salvation. All things. Your business dealings. Your activities of life. God is working in them and through them and over them. In Romans 8:28, He says, We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And the practical atheist denies these verses in practice. Might say that God doesn't really care about the small things. We can all be guilty of that, can't we? This is a little thing, God, don't worry about God about it. So we proceed without taking God into consideration, forgetting that Jesus said that God even keeps track of the little things. Jesus said that God knows the number of hairs on your head. God is the God of little things, not just big things. All things in our lives. God wants you to recognize His kingship, His rulership in your life over everything. And Paul spoke this way in Acts chapter 18, verse 21, talking to the Ephesian elders. He says, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. And he's leaving on a ship. But I will return again to you, he says. Well, that's pretty certain, isn't it? But then he said this: I will return again to you, God willing. And then he sailed for Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4:19, Paul said, I will come to you, the church at Corinth, I will come to you if the Lord wills. And I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but I'll know what's really going on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7, Paul writes, I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Now I know that just because you don't say the words, you aren't thinking it. You aren't believing it. But what James seems to be saying, and what Paul practiced, is that you need to actually use the words. We need to put these words into our vocabulary, that we will do such and such, Lord willing. God wants us to consciously express our submission to Him. It's also a testimony to the world around us of our faith. It's countercultural. We are yielding our lives to God's authority We are in submission to God's will as we live. And it is outwardly acknowledging God's power and rule in our lives, even as we believe it in our hearts. Then, James says, we should do God's will. Verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good, and he does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, what is sin? Well, simply, sin is that which is contrary to God's will. At its root, the word means to miss the mark. So, if you will, one of the marks is the Ten Commandments that we just read. And to violate a commandment is to miss the mark and to sin. There are others in Scripture, other commands. These are rather black and white. They're clear. Do not do this. If you do, it's sin. But James adds something else. It is sin to not do what you know God wants you to do. And if you know something is not God's will and you do it, that is sin. In context, James seems to be saying that to live a self-confident life, to live a life that is self-sufficient, kind of running your own life, captain of your own ship, ignoring God, without consciously submitting to Him as your king, is sin. For the future is not in your hands. It is the hands of God. More broadly, it is never enough to just keep the law. That was the sin of the Pharisees. They outwardly kept the law, and they made a show of it in detail. But their hearts were evil. Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs. They were pretty and clean and shiny on the outside, but inside they were rotten. We need to have good doctrine. We need to have good practical theology, living by God's commands. But God wants more than that from His servants. He wants a heart that is yielded to Him as King and as Sovereign. He wants us to have a will that is totally submissive to our Lord. Even as we plan, always intent on allowing God to rule our lives and to overrule our plans. If you know that God wants you to do something and you don't do it, you are sinning. It's a sin of omission. And it's just as much sin as sins of commission. Christian, you are to recognize the sovereignty of God daily in your life. You are to yield to God's rule over your plans. He is the master. You are the servant. And He wants you to even vocalize that by acknowledging His rule through words such as Lord willing. There's a shorthand for that you might know. Deo volente. It's Latin for God willing. So its shorthand is DV. James says not to do so is sin. It's easy to get caught up in life, isn't it? Get caught up in your plans and your activities. Even as a Christian, to live as a practical atheist. But God calls upon you to live as a servant of the King. Not as your own master, but as His servant. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, that is God, and He shall direct your paths. Christian, don't be like a foolish businessman, but recognize God's sovereignty. Yield to His will in all your ways, joyfully surrendering to your King, who is directing your paths. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You that we can rest in You. and that we can be confident of your watch care over us, and you're working that which is perfect and good and right. Help us not to fear your will. Help us not to fear what you might do through us, but to graciously, joyfully submit to you, our King. And Lord, we pray that we might actively be conscious of your working in our lives, of your providential working in our everyday decisions. And may we plan and go about our lives totally submissive to you. And through us, may Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King, be lifted up and exalted. Father, work in us more and more the mind of Christ, that servant's heart, as we recognize and live not for ourselves, but to our Redeemer, Jesus our Lord. Hear us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.